Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
What?
Is that British?
I don't know what it was. I was just saying hello.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Today, we're going to be playing The Taverns of Tivendal, designed by Wolfgang Warsch of The Quacks of Quedlinburg, Ganshan Clever, Doppelt. So Clever, The Mind, and Wavelength. The artist is Dennis Lohausen of Everything.
Yeah, and that's just the top 1,000. There's even more after that.
A Feast for Odin, Dominion Intrigue, The Quacks of Quedlinburg, Camel Cup, Crown of Amara. Those are just some of the ones we've played. And it is published by North Star Games. The description is, in the village of Tiefenthal lies the Tavern of the Deep Valley. There, all citizens from the area gather, but it's important to attract new wealthy guests, for not only is there enough money to expand the tavern, which will then lure nobles into the tavern as well. But which tavern expansion is best? Should you focus on money? BP. Or rather, ensure that the beer will keep flowing. In the tavern in Tiefenthal, thanks for the German thrown in there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The challenge is to skillfully choose the dice and develop your personal deck of cards as profitably as possible. The game is structured with 5 modules so that your group can add extra levels of complexity as you become more familiar with the game. Mechanics are deck bag pool building, dice rolling, and drafting. Box art is the entrance to a tavern with some very nice stained glass windows. I'm guessing that's supposed to be stained glass.
Yeah, it seems like a very warm and welcoming place.
Just yeah, there's
the
a
coloring
cat,
makes
a nice little cat over there on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being fed and or poked by somebody.
Yeah, it looks like the cat's being bothered.
Yes, like most cats are. Yeah, so based on this, would you pull it off a shelf?
We'll start with BP.
Yeah, we should, since I did actually choose it based solely on the name. It sounded interesting, just the name, and then the description, of course, sounds fun. But the image is, it's kind of not necessarily cartoony, because if you do look at some of the many of the tavern images, especially from German art, look a lot like this. But yeah, you've got a dog sitting underneath a table, a guy with a big frothy beer.
Kiwi?
Mine's less on the cover and more the designer.
Shocking.
One. Yeah. The designer. And then also, like, I've heard tons of good stuff about the game. But we played Quacks of Quedlinburg, which I think we all very much enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Ganshan Clever and Doppelt So Clever, I've played solo as a roll and write, and they seem great. And I would also like to play Wave. So literally, I'm picking it up because of the designer, I think.
Right. Yeah, I would too. First of all, who doesn't like building a tavern? Like, that's just...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's just classic fun there. The designer, it's a name I know. And obviously, we enjoyed Quacks of Quedlinburg, which is a sort of a follow-up to... Yeah, it just sounds fun to build a tavern. The box art, I don't know, it jumps out at me. It kind of reminds me of like a more, not bad, but I feel like it's not like eye-catchy. Like, it seems like there's so many games of similar kinds of style of box art that I don't know that it would jump out at me on like a shelf. I'm excited for this one. So don't let me down, Wolfgang.
Oh, Wolfgang. How do you guys think it's going to be played?
Okay, so we're going to have choices because the description is like
I think there's going to be some choices.
What?
So we're expanding on a tavern.
Yeah, but the dice helps you choose also. So wasn't there like some...
So remember in the Quacks of Quedlinburg, we were putting tokens into a bag and pulling those out. So if he's following a similar core mechanic, we might have, it might be like a token bag building and not, well, there, it does say dice rolling though. So maybe I am wrong. That's what I've got so far.
Is it like two, what if it's like too many bones style with the dice?
Oh, all right. So we're expanding our tavern and you're going to have like little points of like, hey, if you roll a 5, you can put it here and expand this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can focus on money or beer. Appears to be our 2 options. And those are the things you can do in a tavern. And we want to lure nobles, which I'm guessing is just make it nicer. Okay, so you're expanding your tavern. You're going to roll some dice, which are coming out of a bag.
So what would attract, though, nobles would be like finer.
Yeah, quality. Products, like you're upgrading right, yeah. like your tableware and your and stained your glass windows and your yeah. beer.
Ah, yes, the tableware. The reason why I choose to go to certain restaurants. Look, no, we're not going to that restaurant.
Well, yeah,
Are you a noble?
Yeah. No, also, no,
exactly. So keep your peasant ass out of this conversation.
I mean, do you want to go to a place that's going to serve you a paper plate and plasticware, or do you want to go to a place where you get an actual plate?
He's a peasant. He eats with his hands.
Yeah. Is the food good? Where's the food good? That's where I want to go.
I'm guessing like you have to balance though. Like you, if you don't have enough beer supply, you could run out and that would be like negative points or something.
Yeah. But if you have enough money, you just go buy a barrel from someone else. I'm just really excited to, I feel like you could turn this into a drinking game. I don't know
how this game is played, but I bet you could make it a drinking game.
Okay, so we have tableware dice in a bag that we're going to roll, and then that's going to determine where we can expand our tavern.
Right.
All right, and we're drafting something along the way, but who knows what? Probably those dice that go in the bag.
Those dice, yes.
All right, give us the history of the tavern in Tiefenthal.
So, I mean, obviously taverns are as old as human civilization, but this game really is focusing kind of on that idea of the medieval tavern, and especially in Germany. So just some couple of fun factoids about tavern, and especially its relationship to ale and this idea of the nobles. So a couple of things to keep in mind is that by and large, especially kind of medieval society and early modern society until more modern times, most societies would have been based on the same pattern where the more rich clientele would have drank more wine in many kind of Western nations, and the poor folk drank ale. And there's a reason for that, right? There's a lot more calories in beer. By and large, like the relationship of people to beer and ales really goes back to what do you do with some of this excessive grain and make it a part of the diet, especially when you can't drink water without, you know, some kind of strong filtration system, right? Because especially in medieval society, like pollutants in the water, well, not like the same chemical levels we have now, we're still like pretty bad. Human waste, animal waste, all that types of stuff. Also kind of interesting is that many taverns and beer making during the medieval period were associated with women. But when you look at taverns and the development of taverns in Germany more specifically, and taverns and inns sometimes became interchangeable in many of these, in many of the sources. But it's interesting because women... like the whole idea of drunkenness was frowned upon, but drinking in general was not. Like it wasn't really necessarily a like puritanical type society where drinking was frowned upon. But if you drink in excess, that's where people started to frown on. And especially drunkenness among women, and especially women who were unaccompanied by men, was very frowned upon. So it's interesting to think about women being seen in taverns, because when you look at like British society and then North American, you know, based on British settlers, women were not allowed in taverns. Like a respectable woman would not go into a tavern at all, where at least in Germany you could if you were accompanied by at least your husband. And of course, you know, women's roles in that kind of would help then impose limits on their husband's behavior, right? And how much they would drink. Whereas you then would see problems develop in North America and Great Britain as a whole, and many men going to different types of taverns or gin houses, that type of thing, and leading to kind of reforms in the 19th century because they would spend much of their money on alcohol. All that to say, though, is that when you also look at all of that development in North America, to kind of bring it to where we are, because I always just hear Kiwi, or actually many other types of Marines who are always like, ah, the Marine Corps was founded in a tavern. Taverns in early modern society were just like the pub is in our modern society. They were just like a part of life. They were just like a restaurant. So, you know, Marines like to go around and be like, oh, we were founded in a tavern. Like, so therefore, like, we should drink on these occasions. Like, no, taverns were like your coffee houses to a certain extent. Like, people just went there to get news, to share news. And I mean, again, you weren't really going to be drinking the water. So everybody was drinking. So just to throw that out, is a lot of the American Revolution did start to take place and discussions take place in American taverns, many of which then once German immigrants came over, kind of changed up that scene and introduced beer gardens and breweries.
So you guys were way off. So I should probably just tell you how to play.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, really.
I feel like I had it with the too many bones reference.
No, you were pretty far off. All right. So the game is going to be played over 8 rounds. And during that time, we're going to earn money by boozing our patrons and trying to upgrade our tavern and have the most victory points at the end of our game.
So we want people the to game get drunk.
Yeah. And the game is built to get progressively harder. It has the modules, which Eric mentioned in the description. It kind of is like the books in Quacks of Quedlinburg, where it would change up the recipes and like what the different colored potion items would do. But we're going to play with module 1, which is what it recommends. And the rollback, when it goes through it, actually, it is built around how to play the game with just module 1. So the player who was last in a tavern will be first. So I guess the last person to be at a bar.
Wow, it's a crickets.
Well, we went to the game cafe.
So I had to go to a bar. Because the Marines were doing stuff with the Royal Marines that were here for class, and that was back in March.
Of this year?
So that, yeah.
Oh,
so that
was
before.
It brushed me.
Yeah. I was trying to think if we went for my birthday. We did. We went to a bar for my birthday.
Like a legit bar.
Yeah, because we had mimosas. I mean, it was a pub. They still served food because I think there's many laws in places where you have to serve food.
All right. So I'll just give it to BP because she's
trying
real hard.
No, you can go. No, you go. You get it, Kiwi. No,
I went first on the last game we played.
Nope,
so
you're
fine.
Getting it. You go.
All right. So BP is first.
Nope. I'm not going
all
first.
Right, so okay, fine. I'll go first. So I'll get a nice little cardboard beer mug as the first player token. So each round is broken up into 7 phases. And in most of those phases, we're going to play simultaneously, but a handful or a couple will be by player turn. So first phase is a new evening in the tavern. The start player is going to move the moon token and put it on the next place on the track. And then there are going to be bonuses that every player will get. That's phase one. Phase two, the guests arrive. So players are going to simultaneously start revealing the top card of their deck and place it in the appropriate slots on their taverns. So in the tavern, we're going to have tables, and that's where our patrons go. And then there will be different workstations. So like there's a bar back who runs the beer around. There's a brewer. There's a washer woman. There's a server. So if you draw those cards, you're going to put them where they go. Patrons will always go by themselves to tables unless they're nobles. And the nobles don't want to do anything with peasants. So the nobles will always stack up on the same table.
Just as nobles do, they stack on tables.
Yeah. If you ever run out of cards and you have cards in your discard, you're just going to shuffle those up. And that phase will be over once all players have either run out of cards or they have filled all their tables. So then the next phase is here comes the server. Each server, a player. So if you drew a server, you're going to get a card or a die of your color that you're going to be able to roll and put on your tavern board. That's phase three. Phase four is, can I take your order? So we all have 4 white dice on a dice coaster. We're going to roll those dice and we're going to put them back on the coaster. And then you're going to draft one and pass your coaster to the next player. And then we'll draft again and then we'll pass. So we're going to draft dice until every player has 4 white dice. So that's phase four. Phase five, we're going to plant.
This reminds me a little bit of Grand Austrian Hotel, where we're trying to feed cake to our customers and get them drunk and then put them upstairs in bed.
Sort of.
Okay.
Is there strudel in this game?
Right. Not strudel. That's the question.
There's no strudel, which is good beer. Because I ran out of donuts this morning. For phase five, you're going to plan out your actions. So everyone is going to take the dice that they've rolled, and they're going to be able to place it in the appropriate action. So all the patrons, the different workstations, they all have different values and bonuses or actions that those values are going to give you. If it has a question mark, you can play any die value to it. But a lot of them will have, like, for instance, the brewer, you can only put a die with a one or a die with a six on the brewer, and that's how you get beer. Some of them will have green arrows with a 1X, and that means you can only do that action once per round. Others will have a green arrow with the, ellipses with the dot, dot, dot. You can do that action as many times as you want. You are not locked in where you place your dice. So when we go to the next phase, which is serve your guests, that one goes in turn order, and you're going to take your turn, and you're going to start activating all the dice that you've placed. If you want to, you can move around dice as you go through if you want to change up your actions. The only stipulation is if you've already done a green 1X, you can't do it again. And you have to make sure that you pull the die off your board so that you know that you've already activated it, so you don't accidentally activate a die twice. Some of them, so like patrons will give you, this is Thalers, which is the money, and they have their own action associated with them. And then you can also get beers, which kind of have their own action associated with them. So Thalers will let you purchase tavern cards, which get added. So unlike a lot of deck builders where you add it to a discard deck, this one, when you purchase cards, they're going to go directly to your regular deck and they're going to go on top. So you know you're going to get them the next round. And then the beers will let you add guests and nobles to your deck. And then finally, the final phase is closing time. So all the players are going to pick up the cards that they played that round and put them in the discard pile. The moon token, if the moon token's on the last field of the turn track, the game ends. And if not, we're just going to pass the starting player beer mug to the next player and we'll go into the next round. When the game is over, players are going to add up all the victory points on their cards in both their draw and discard piles. And the player with the most victory points is the winner, and tie going to the player who has stored the most tailors and beers. So in the beginning, you're going to be able to store up to two beers per turn and up to two tailors per turn, but you're going to be able to upgrade that as you go through the game. So that is all the rules.
Let's play.
We just finished a game of the Taverns of Tiefenthal. To recap, Kiwi had 64 beer points. I had 81 beer points, and BP won with 88 beer points.
Yay! Whoop whoop!
So strategy, BP. How did you win?
That is a excellent question. As we all know, I highly strategize all of my gameplay. I used that monk. Just barely. It looks like a little bit more than you did, Eric. But I don't know why. For some reason, I think the first round I'd rolled a five. So I was like, ooh, we're going to use this monk. And then I think we were joking at the beginning of the game, but Eric, you were like, you're going to go for money. And I kind of did. Like, I was like, beer, what does beer get me? And then, I don't know, like, I really went for money at first. Yeah, money.
Man, I don't think I went for one or the other. I was pretty balanced. If I drew patrons with high money, I tried to get them, and then I did money round. And if I drew a bunch of beer cards, I did beer stuff. So I don't think you can go one or the other. I think you have to do both. Yeah, so I don't know. I think you just got to balance it. And I think we all did about the same amount of upgrades.
Yeah, I think for me, like I feel like you guys concentrated on one specific thing. Like BP did a lot of money and the monk track, and then you were doing a bit of the monk track, but mostly beers. And then like I spread it out and I really wasn't close. Well, yeah, I wasn't really close to either of you.
So theme, what did you think of the theme, Kiwi?
I mean, I felt like I was setting up a tavern and trying to make it better. And I mean, obviously I didn't have a good reputation because I kept bringing like the same people to the bar every
same
time.
Same ones and twos, the riffraff.
Yeah, the riffraff. Yeah, I had a very low clientele.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like bar stuff. I mean, you're bringing patrons in, you're upgrading things, you're making beer. Like it did all right in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine like how else. I mean, there's, you know, restaurant or whatever, because I kept thinking Grand Austria Hotel as we were playing it. But it, I mean, there was definitely like a different spin, but I feel like any kind of hospitality type service thing you could probably do with this. But I mean, as we'll move on with the art, I feel like the art helped bring that theme in a little bit more. But all in all, I mean, it's definitely more thematic than it could have been anything. I feel like it definitely would have had to be a little bit more along the hospitality type track.
Yeah, I didn't. The monastery was, I get like monks and monasteries and beer was the thing, but it seemed kind of weird that you're just, there's also, you're working on your tavern. Also, you're in the monastery. Like,
well, yeah, I guess there's that one monk that constantly comes by.
Yeah, but that's the monk. Like, I guess it's your influence and relationship with the monastery, but it is sort of like,
aren't the monks traditionally the ones who brewed beer anyway?
In certain regions, yeah.
But like to me, like we're the tavern owner, so like we're not right, monks. Yeah. So yeah, getting into the art, what you kind of said it works well with the.
Yeah, I think it helped tie the theme in, so it felt more taverny. Like, I mean, the setup and the player boards are definitely. You've got your server, your dishwasher. I mean, it looks like a tavern, and you've got your tables there. It would be kind of cool to see it maybe in the different modules as it gets harder, like maybe you have tables with more than one patron at it, you know? And so it'd be interesting to see how the different modules maybe carry that theme and the art through. But I think we said in the beginning when we were first looking at the player boards, we're like, oh my God, there was a cat looking at a mouse hole, you know, like there's just, it's cute. There's lots of, nice little things that just I think help bring you back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring you into it.
What I really liked was like your cards were an extension of the board, and that one, the board flipped around and the upgrades were actually like visible on it. It wasn't just like a token you placed on it. And then how the cards were just like an extension. So it was sort of like built out as your people came in and then all your staff showed up. Like I like that kind of piece to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good layout. Theme.
It felt like you were opening up the tavern and like people were coming in and you're.
Well, I think the key with art in a game is like at a glance, does it inform you of the game state? And with this, you can glance at it and go, I've upgraded this piece because there's a waitress here, or I've upgraded, you know, this cash box because it's the fancy one. It's like versus like some games have great art, but it's like, I didn't look at it. It really didn't inform me of anything. It's just very pretty over there. Whereas this is more interactive with the actual gameplay. Mechanics, Kiwi.
So I thought they were interesting. I mean, we've played dice drafting games in the past that I've liked. And then the deck building aspect of it, I think it was very small. I mean, in traditional deck builders, there's usually a way to get stuff out of your deck. And there weren't a lot of ways to do that in this game. There was the one spot on the monk track.
It was the only card we ever got rid of.
We got rid of one card. So all you were doing was adding cards to your deck, which, you know, could help or hinder you. But, you know, the idea of the deck builder is to be able to cull your deck to be able to get what you need when you need it. And I feel like that wasn't really a part of this.
The way that you drew until you filled your tables, like you could load in your, I don't know, the accessory ones, basically the staff cards. And it didn't really impact. You didn't have to decide. Any staff card is a good card because it doesn't impact how many cards you get that round.
Yeah, it just felt like a lot of randomness, right? So you got the randomness out of your card draw, and then you had the randomness of the dice rolls, and then you had the randomness of what are other people going to draft. So like there was just a lot of random, and there wasn't really any ways there. I mean, the dishwasher let you mitigate. The server gave you extra dice so that maybe, you know, statistically you could get whatever it is that you wanted. But for the most part, like there were rounds where like you could have a mega round, and then the next two rounds you could have nothing because you drew straight guesses, which I think they try to counter a little bit with the counter guess, but you only get three of those in the game. So
I tend to like more randomness and more chaos in my games. But even at a point in this game, I thought, man, this is super random. Cause like, you're just trying to, I think there's the whole puzzly piece to it. So you know, the more puzzly the game is, kind of the less randomness you want, because it gets very frustrating when you can't do, you know, the thing that you want to do. Rules, PP, how does it play?
I mean, the stages again, like at the beginning, it was a little hard to understand until we walked through the first round. Like, I think the first round came about pretty easily. So I don't think it was like that difficult of a learning curve by the first round. I think you understood what you wanted to do with stuff. But this is, I think, one of those games you kind of do need like that narrator that's like, OK, we're on to this phase and we're in this phase now and we're in this phase. So having like a reminder card or something about that is clutch, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps in the process, I felt like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if Kiwi weren't so good at like directing us to play the game,
right,
that might be hard for like some people to be like, what do we do now? But
so the rule book's really well laid out. It does the thing that I like, where it goes through each phase separately, and I did like that they had the phases like very delineated. Like there were very specific things that you did, and there wasn't really any crossover between phases. So like there was no way to like get mixed up. We did mess up one rule where if you upgrade things, you were supposed to get a noble, which I know that I read. I probably should have put it in the notes for the like when I went through the rules just to remind myself. But we definitely missed that. And I don't think it really affected anything because it was something that you're able to fix.
Yeah.
But it did affect like there was potentially the ability to get more things because the nobles could have brought more money, I guess. I don't know.
They're not really, they're mostly victory points at the end. Money wise, they didn't do much. So I don't think it impacted much at all.
And then I was going to say, so the additional modules that get added. So module 2 adds entertainers who you pay with schnapps and they give you bonuses. The third module, there's reputation. So your tavern can gain reputation. It's basically another bonus track similar to the monastery track, it looks like. Module 4 changes up your starting position. So like it can upgrade things in your tavern or make your starting deck different than other people's. And then the final module is a guest book, and you gain bonuses by having guests come in. It looks like if they do different things or if you spend different amounts of money or beer, you get bonuses based on the guest book. When you're playing with module 5, you are playing like
the full game.
What Wolfgang sees as the full game of Tavern.
It's just it's more introduction friendly, so you don't overwhelm people. Because we played some where we're just like, man, I don't know, this is too much. Which this didn't feel like that, but I bet if you started with the full module 5, like it probably would have been like, oh my gosh, there's so many.
It looks like it's a ton. It's a ton of stuff, like tons of bonus tracks and like adds a whole bunch of things. And it just seems like a lot. But the examples were good. The rule book is good. The example player is Wolfgang throughout the whole rule book, which I thought was fun. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I wish I had is on the very last page. I wish there was an easy like turn, like, you know, here are the phases and here's like a short synopsis of what you do in that phase. Cause I had to keep going back and forth in the rule book to the page that had the phases all listed out in one place. And then scroll back to where all the icons were so that I knew what the icons meant.
Right. Player interaction. Was anybody paying attention to what other people were doing?
I was paying attention to BPs only because I was moving all our stuff for her.
Ouch.
On Tabletop Simulator.
Right. I am a little handicapped at the Tabletop Simulator. I was somewhat paying attention to Eric just because I remember him at one point saying like something about beer. And I was like, oh, that's funny. It was just like at the beginning where he was like all about the beer and I was all about the money. Although I don't know that you said you were going to be about the beer, but you did say I was be about the money and that kind of played out. So, I mean, I was curious. And as you were moving up the monastery track, I was getting a little nervous because I felt like that might play out in the end. I wasn't sure.
How would that impact you?
I don't like if maybe you got more bonuses than me because there were some good bonuses on that track.
Yeah, but you just get the bonus. It doesn't really impact your game. I didn't really pay attention. And even the drafting, like there's only so many numbers. So like, the dice that were in front of me, I just took the one that I thought was the best. I didn't really pay attention to what you might be taking. Because there's too many options as opposed to like maybe a Sushi Go Roll, which I only played once, but I feel like there's less options. So you might be like, oh, I think they're going to take this. I don't know.
So would you place it somewhere in between solitaire or minimal?
Solitaire. There's no way to affect other players.
Quacks we even have is minimal.
Yeah, no, Quacks. But
Quacks had a few
minimal.
Cards that were like, do this to your player on your left.
Okay.
Like, I had some cards that could directly impact the other player. This had nothing other than the drafting, and I didn't even pay attention to what you guys might be drafting or not. I don't know. Did you, Kiwi?
Yep. I just looked at what was there and what I could use.
So, would you play it again, BP?
Yes. I mean, I won, of course. I don't know. I really did enjoy it. I normally don't like too many options, but I liked it. I liked the upgrade. I don't know. There was just something that was clicking to me about it. It was like Grand Austria Hotel. I feel like we said we would play that again, too. Feeding people strudels and giving people beer. Like, sounds like a fantastic job.
Okay. No, I don't think I'd play it again.
Okay.
I'd rather play like Quacks if it's this designer. That was just a more interesting, like I said, the deck building mechanic, like it's there. It's not particularly interesting. And the dice randomness and the drafting again, just really wasn't that interesting to me. Like, it's not a terrible game. I just feel like there's other ones out there that, I mean, I would play this over Heaven and Ale if we're doing a Monk Brewery game. And it may have been that I just had higher expectations or certain expectations going in based on, you know, hey, we really like the push your luck mechanic and Quacks. And I really like bag builders more than deck builders, I think, just because it's fun drawing things out of bags. But yeah, so it may have just been expectations and Kiwi.
Yeah, so when I read the rules and like listening to other people talk about it, I got super excited about it because, you know, I like deck builders and I like worker placement. And this is kind of that, you know, this game had both those mechanics. And this morning while I was out for a walk, I started getting worried that maybe it was going to be too random and I was not going to enjoy it because that takes away from the puzzle piece. And I was correct. It was way too random. And I think I'm on board with Eric with maybe my expectations for the game were too high. Also would not play it again. I would rather play Quacks of Quedlinburg for sure. I think that the bag building and the push your luck mechanic in that is what we really enjoyed. Yep. And I felt like I was hoping for something similar to that in this. And I definitely did not get it. And yeah, just it was way, way too random. So I'm actually pretty disappointed.
I had a feeling if I felt it was random, you were going to feel it was too random because you seem to like more of like the I have a plan, going to execute it than I do. So,
and I'm okay with some random, like there should be some randomness. I just,
but like I said, in the middle of the game, when I feel like, man, this game's random, I'm like, whoa. All right.
Yeah. But then like the deck draft, the deck building, like you're not really building a deck. You're just adding cards. So like it takes out.
I don't mind that as much because I'm not as into deck builders as you are, but I could see why you would be not as excited about that piece.
So yeah, I think we found our first game that BP would play again, right? And either one of us would.
I was thinking that same thing. I was like, this is so random.
Yeah, that's exciting then. That's good. It's nice that BP and I didn't have the same exact opinion on something for once.
Yeah.
So that is Die Tavernen im Tiefenthal.
Well, if there are any listeners out there and you have recommendations for games you'd like to hear our impressions on, just send them our way.
Or if you want to be BP's friend and play this, because now she needs new friends.
Now I apparently need someone to play this with. And I will be happy to play with you in this game and build a tavern. So hit us up on email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Or you can do Twitter and Instagram, First Turncast. And the drunken podcasting camel says, please don't rate and review, subscribe, favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games!
You just said, please don't rate, review, and subscribe. No. Listener, please rate, review, and subscribe. Don't listen to the Podcasting Camel this time. The Podcasting Camel is a mean drunk. Oh, I will say I was getting frustrated with you both, though, in the first round, because you kept asking me questions, and then as I was trying to answer them, you kept both talking.
Do we not normally do that? Because it sounds like something we normally do.
And no, normally you guys let me answer the question, but for whatever reason, you just kept talking.